ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
भगवद गीता एज इट इज ट्रांसलेशन एंड कमेंट्री by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Chapter 7, text number 2. Jnanam teham savijnanam idam vakshyami asheshatah yad jyatva neha bhuhyo nyaj jyatavyam avashishyate. Krishna says, I shall now declare unto you in full this knowledge, both phenomenal and numinous. This being known, nothing further shall remain for you to know. Chapter 7, text 2. Vishnu Swami Prabhu. You can read from Srimad Bhagavad Gita. Jata Tata. Is it in?
Yata Tata.
Yata Tata. Bengali is Jata Tata. I shall now declare unto you in full this knowledge, both phenomenal and numinous. This being known, nothing further shall remain for you to know. Purport. Complete knowledge includes knowledge of the phenomenal world, the spirit behind it, and the source of both of them. This is transcendental knowledge. The Lord wants to explain the above-mentioned system of knowledge because Arjuna is Krishna's confidential devotee and friend. In the beginning of the fourth chapter, this explanation was given by the Lord, and it is again confirmed here. Complete knowledge can be achieved only by the devotee of the Lord in disciplic succession directly from the Lord. Therefore, one should be intelligent enough to know the source of all knowledge, who is the cause of all causes, and the only object for meditation in all types of yoga practice. When the cause of all causes becomes known, then everything knowable becomes known and nothing remains unknown. The Vedas, Mundaka Upanishad 1.3, say, Kasmin u bhagavo vigyate sarvam idang vigyatam bhavati di. Which is, Prabhupada writes here, when the cause of all causes becomes known, then everything knowable becomes known and nothing remains unknown. And then this quote is the question from the Mundaka Upanishad. What is it by knowing which everything is known? It is a great claim. Krishna says, I will now tell you everything that is to be known. Why should we believe someone if they tell not? They tell us, now I will tell you everything that is to be known. Why should we believe anyone if they say that? How can you know everything anyway? How is it possible for anyone to know everything? And how can we, with our puny intelligence, know everything? So if anyone comes to us and says, I will now tell you everything, we should be very suspicious of them. But here Krishna says, I will now tell you. Krishna doesn't exactly say, I will tell you everything. He doesn't exactly say that. Jnanam teham savijnanam idam vakshyami asheshatah yaj gyat va neha bhuyo naj gyatavyam avashishyate. I will now give you that knowledge by which everything is to be known. So it's not that Krishna is going to tell Arjuna every detail about everything. One house which used to be here 200 years ago, how many rooms were in that house? There's so much information. What is the present population of Andhra Pradesh? The census can tell us. What the census tells us is incorrect. It might have been correct at one point, but even while the census was being made, more people were being born, more were dying, so it can only be an approximation. How can we know everything? Even what we see, I can see you now, right? You can see me. Actually, it's not exactly now, because it takes time for the impression, it's a very small time, but some time, for the impression of the form of your body to hit the retina on my eye and then go back to the brain and be processed. So, I am seeing you now. It's not exactly correct. When you say now, already now has gone. Therefore, in Buddhism, there's some school of Buddhism which has this bizarre theory that at every moment everything is dissolved and reordered again, because they can't understand how there's a continuity. This is the information that Krishna is giving, not all the details. Krishna himself, he knows all the details. He's the only one who can know all the details about everything, past, present and future. Imagine if you had to know everything past, present and future. How many windows in the biggest, what's the biggest building in Hyderabad? Some hotel or something? 16-story building? Who was telling me that? This Purna Brahma was telling me. Some 16-story building. How many windows are there? How many atoms are in a pinhead? How many electrons are in all the atoms? What are their present movements? What is their present rate of velocity? You can't even imagine knowing everything. And even if you did, it would drive you crazy. I mean, the kids at school, they have to learn so many things. And literally, in some cases, they become crazy. It's just so much information. And they just can't cope with it all. But Krishna, he knows everything. Vedaham samatitani vartamanani charjana bhavishyani cha bhutani mangtu vedana kaschana. Krishna says, I know everything that happened in the past. I know everything that's happening at present. And everything in the future I will also know. But me, no one knows. How can we know such a person who has such information, and not just information, but coordination and understanding? So Krishna's capacity for knowledge far exceeds that of ours. Krishna is far, far, far more intelligent than any Einstein. We cannot begin to imagine what is Krishna's intelligence and Krishna's knowledge, but he promises here to give to Arjuna that understanding by which Arjuna can understand the principles of everything. We cannot know everything, but we can understand the underlying principle. Just like if the fan is moving, we can't study the every single detail, the different atoms and the different movements of the air waves, but we can understand the principle of how an electric fan works and how by moving the air it cools, makes a cooling situation. Not always. Sometimes when it's very hot, if you turn the fan on, it makes it hotter, right? In the very hot day, the hot air blows down, becomes hotter. But these basic principles we can understand. The details, it's not possible for an ordinary jiva to understand very much at all. Did you all eat your lunch today? No, you didn't, you're fasting. In Telugu, when you ask someone, did you eat your meal? They say, did you take anna? Is it? Annamu. In every Indian language, they say that. Apni ki bhat khayachen in Bengali. Have you eaten rice? So you've all eaten your rice today, is it? Twice. Do you understand how you digested it? You understand? Maybe a physiologist could tell us, doctor could tell us, but exactly how each grain of rice is going in and getting all mixed up, chewed up, mixed up with various of, well, according to modern science, there will be various enzymes and acids in the stomach. According to Bhagavad Gita, how does the digestion take place? What does Krishna say? Aham vaishvanaro bhudva praninam deham ashrita prana pana samayukta pachamyanam chaturvidham. Krishna is the fire of digestion. There is a fire. According to Vedic understanding, there is fire in the stomach. Jatharagni. That means, in modern scientific terms, that means like acid. If acid spills on your skin, you'll feel it's burning. So it's fire. It's another kind of fire. Sometimes it's people throw acid, battery acid, in someone else's face to deform their face. It's a very nasty thing to do. It burns the face. So there's acid in the stomach. That is representative, that is Krishna. He digests the four kinds of food. Krishna is the fire of digestion. But we don't know how that's going on, but Krishna knows. So the basic principle is that Krishna supplies the fire by which the food is digested. So we don't need to know much more, actually. Maybe if someone is an Ayurvedic physician, they may study in more detail. But generally people know that you should not drink water just half an hour before eating. Then after eating you have to wait some time because the water extinguishes the fire. These are basic principles to be understood. So in the same way Krishna tells Arjuna, I will tell you now the basic principles by which we can understand everything. This is very important, is it not? Knowledge is important. Is it not? Without knowledge, we cannot function. Yeah, everyone please turn off your cell phone. You don't have signs here?
Yeah, we have.
You should capture people and fine them 500 rupees. There's the sign. Fine them 500 rupees. Then they won't do it again. It's not really a joke. It's very bad etiquette to come when everyone's trying to hear something. It's not, this is not some entertainment. This is important, what we're speaking. So don't interrupt it with your, turn off your cell phone. The knowledge is important in human society. There are so many colleges. Why? So that people can get knowledge. Unfortunately, in the colleges, they only teach the knowledge by which you can become an ass. A supposedly civilized ass. That means an ass carries heavy weights. And the ass thinks, I'm very fortunate because by carrying these heavy weights, I get grass to eat at the end of the day. My master gives me grass. So in the same way, we collect lots of so-called knowledge and carry it around in our brain. Just like the ass, he's carrying heavy weight. It's no benefit for him. So we learn all kinds of useless things. And we think, now I can get a job. We hope that by acquiring some knowledge, we can get a job. and then my master will give me some money and I can eat. But of course knowledge is required in human society. Everyone should know something. But real knowledge is that knowledge by which we are freed from all suffering eternally. That knowledge should be sought after. Unfortunately, in modern society, there's no inquiry into such knowledge. In modern society, they promote that knowledge is something that you get so you can get a job, so you can get food. And that's the be-all and end-all of life. You have to have money so you can have food and a cell phone and a computer and a TV, pay your rent, and there's nothing left. You're in debt. So even after getting all this knowledge, everyone spends all their life in debt. And they accumulate all kinds of useless things. So therefore this knowledge, it's not actually knowledge, it's an accumulation of more ignorance. Actual knowledge is that which frees us from ignorance, but in modern society that which is called education is that which increases our ignorance. It makes us think, modern education makes us think that to get money for sense gratification, for buying more and more devices and gadgets, 2G, then you have to go to 3G, and then they'll bring in 4G, every time you have to buy some new gadget. And they call this advancement, and we're so foolish that we believe this nonsense. However, what Krishna teaches in Bhagavad Gita is not meant to cheat us. All the schools and colleges, they're simply meant to cheat us. People think, I am benefited by going to the school and the college. But they are cheating us because they are not giving that knowledge by which we can get freed from the ignorance of thinking that I can be happy in this material world. Ignorance means to think that I am this body and I can be happy in this material world. And real knowledge is liberating. It frees us from ignorance. In the modern age, we think someone will get knowledge and then they'll get, and the symptom of that knowledge is they'll get what's called a good job. Well, I don't know how any job can be good. And then you have a big house, or you have some prestigious bungalow, some prestigious hole in some building, and with a gated community. And this is considered prestigious. But the symptom in Vedic culture, the symptom of a person who has knowledge is not that he has more, not a bigger house, and more objects, and more money, but the symptom of a person in knowledge is that he has very small house or no house and very few possessions. Only yavat artha prayojanam, just what he needs. Just a little cloth, lie on the floor, very simple. That is the symptom of knowledge, that one has no attachment to this material world. He's not running around like every other foolish person, trying to accumulate more and more objects, but he's detached from this world. Asakta anabhishvanga putra dara grihadishu. One is detached from this material world. One is detached from family, children, all these things. That is the actual sign of knowledge. Of course, we see that most of the rishis in Vedic culture, they were also married, but they were not cultivating attachment to this world, they were cultivating detachment. That even though they have their home and family, but they don't think that janani janma bhumischa swargam eva gariyasi. They don't think janani or janma bhumi, the mother or the homeland, is better than Swarga, and they have no interest in Swarga either, because Swarga or heaven is part of this material world. So Krishna is teaching the principles. Srila Prabhupada here states, he defines what is complete knowledge. Complete knowledge includes knowledge of the phenomenal world, that means this material world, the spirit behind it, and the source of both of them. So the spirit behind this world, that is stated by Krishna in Bhagavad Gita. All knowledge is in Bhagavad Gita, at least in seed form. That mamaivangsho jiva loke jiva bhuta sanatana manash shashtani indrayani prakriti sthani karshati. That all the living beings, all the jivas, are part and parcel of me, Krishna says. They're all my eternal parts, but they're in this material world, struggling with the senses, beginning with the mind. So this is the cause of material existence, that we forget Krishna. The whole world is controlled by Krishna, must be controlled by someone. We're studying science. We have this law and that law. Some scientist discovers some law of nature. He puts his own name on it. But actually all the laws are Krishna's laws. How is there, unless there is a controller, then there can be no science. We presume that there are laws of science, that means someone has set it all up. So how is that going on? If you want to take photos, please take later. Just listen. Mayadhyakshena prakriti suyate sacharacharam hetuna anena kontaya jagadvi parivartata. Krishna is overseeing everything. Krishna is the supreme controller. Everything is going on in this world. There are living beings, non-living beings. Everything is going on by Krishna's direction. So if we understand this, then we understand the principle of this world. We don't actually need to, although some people may do, but it's not required to know all astronomy, astrology, biology, all these different ologies. We simply need to know that there is Krishna, he is the supreme controller. We are controlled. We are controlled. This simple point we should understand. We are controlled. We are forced to suffer in this world. We are forced to die. No one can say, I will not die. That means we are under control of some power that is higher than us. What is that power? That Krishna is explaining. He himself is that power. Of course, anyone can say that. There's some rascal who's almost dead in hospital. He's coming in the newspaper because he's a big rascal, famous rascal. So he has allowed throughout his life himself to be praised as Bhagavan. But he is not Bhagavan. We don't find in Krishna Leela that Krishna is in a wheelchair and then they take him to hospital. There's no such thing. Krishna is Ishvara Parama Krishna, Satchidananda Vigraha, Anadir Adir Govinda Sarva Karana Karana. Krishna is the supreme controller. His form is eternal. It never deteriorates. Krishna is always blissful. Krishna knows everything. He's directly and indirectly aware of everything. He's the ultimate principle behind everything and the cause of all causes. So anyone can say, I am God. And in the modern age, there are many rascals who allow themselves to be praised as God. Anyone who says, I am God, he is a rascal, with one exception. The exception is God. That is Krishna. Sabhagavan Swayam Krishna. Anyone else, you should know immediately they are a rascal. And if they tell you that you can also become God, you should know that they are also a rascal, because you cannot become God. It is nonsense to say that we can become God. So anyone who says that is simply cheating. But Krishna is not cheating, because he is actually the controller of everyone. So complete knowledge means to understand these principles. First of all, we are, actually the first point to understand, we are not the body. This body is temporary. But I am eternal. I am jiva. Jiva means living, conscious. This body is not conscious. We can cut off the finger, throw it away. The finger, if it's detached from the body, there's no consciousness. The consciousness comes from the jiva, not from the chemicals. The jiva enters the body, therefore there is life. But the body itself has no life. And when the jiva leaves the body, then we say it is dead. You say someone's dead, what is dead? The body is anyway dead. There's no life in the chemical. What chemicals are there in the body? There's a lot of water, hydrogen, oxygen, carbon, nitrogen. These are the principal chemicals within the body. There's no life in chemicals. But I am the jiva. I have no actual relationship with this body. It is an illusion to think I am this body. So that's the first point to understand. Krishna speaks this in Bhagavad Gita. Then, we are controlled. We are so much in illusion, we don't recognize that we are controlled. But Krishna points this out. We are controlled. We are not the controller. It is a great illusion to think that I am the controller. We are not the controller. At any moment, we may have so many plans, but at any moment our plans can be completely spoiled. We have so many plans. I will do this, I will do that. We're thinking about our plans, we walk in the road and a bus comes and all our plans are finished. Then our family has to make plans to immediately take the body to the burning ghat. All plans finished. So we are controlled. Why are we controlled? Why are we in this material world? Why is there suffering? How to get free from that suffering? That is knowledge. That Krishna teaches in Bhagavad Gita. Therefore, all these so-called educational institutions, they're simply cheating people. By not giving this knowledge, they may give knowledge how to fiddle around on a computer. They may do. But unless this knowledge is given, who are we? Who is Bhagavan? Who is the controller? What is our relationship with him? Unless we get this knowledge, our human life is spoiled. We're simply wasting our life. And we can see in the modern age, the whole society is teaching us how to waste our life. In traditional Indian culture, the whole culture was how to act, how to gain that knowledge and act on the principle of that knowledge of how to get free from birth and death. That was the culture. We should hear Ramayana. Now Ram Navami is coming. So at least once a year people think of Rama. But actually every day we should hear Ram Katha, Krishna Katha. This was the culture. Now we have cricket katha, Bollywood katha, or I don't know what. In Hyderabad they have their version of Bollywood. What's it called? Hollywood. Tollywood. Tollywood. Nonsense. Rascaldom. Simply promoting what is promoted on the TV and the cinema. Kam, krodh, lobh. Is it not? These are the three things. I don't watch this nonsense, but you can see just from the advertisements. The main thing is kam, sex, Krodh, violence, and lobe. On the TV, they buy this, buy that, and you think, I have to buy this. All kinds of things you would never buy. You have no interest, but they create an interest. You should buy this. Buy this, you'll be happy. You'll never be happy by buying anything that they advertise on TV. But we're in illusion. They put us in that illusion. So the whole modern society is cheating us and sending us to hell. Trividham narakasyedam dwaram nashanam atmanaha kamas krotas tata lobhas tasmat etat trayantya jet. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that there are three gates to hell: kam, krodh, lobh, lust, greed and anger. Therefore, these should be given up. But modern society is promoting this. It's very much a cheating society. We are promoting here what Krishna is speaking, to give us that knowledge by which we can become free from birth and death and understand our relationship with Krishna and live eternally with Krishna, happily. Happiness, that's a word, but no one in this world knows what it means. A very vague idea. Happiness in this world means yan griham edhi sukham. What is that? Yan maitun adhi griham edhi sukham hitucha. In this material world, happiness is based on sex and family life. But that is tucham. It is insignificant, of no meaning. Actual happiness means to dance with Krishna. But people have no idea. Therefore, Krishna kindly comes. He teaches Bhagavad Gita. He sends his representatives who speak on Bhagavad Gita. And even now, people who are intelligent, they can take advantage of this. The modern society is for making us more and more foolish. TV, cinema, newspapers, simply making us foolish. In the newspapers, 20 years ago in India, there was some sports section. Now, big sports section. Everyone is interested. Cricket, tennis. Now, I think in India, 20 years ago, no one even heard of tennis. Now, they're all interested. Tennis, golf, all these things. Simply spoiling our life with useless diversions. So, if anyone has any intelligence in the modern world, they should study these books. These books of Srila Prabhupada, they are unique. Now you may say, well, I have Bhagavad Gita in my home already. I don't need this. I have Gita Makarandam, it's a famous edition in Andhra Pradesh, Telugu speaking area. I have so many books on Upanishads. But these books of Prabhupada, they are different. Because Srila Prabhupada is presenting Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam exactly as Krishna gives it. Krishna, when he spoke to Arjuna, Krishna's teaching was very powerful because Arjuna was in illusion. But Krishna, by speaking Bhagavad Gita, took Arjuna out of illusion. And anyone who delivers the message of Krishna, as Krishna delivered it to Arjuna, they can become free from illusion by Krishna's mercy, as Arjuna did. Now we see that there are many editions of Bhagavad Gita, and many people have written religious books. But still, people are in illusion, even if they read so many books. Even they may be big scholars of Bhagavad Gita, but they don't know what is the message of Bhagavad Gita, that we are all mamai vangsho jiva loke jiva bhuta sanatana. We are all part and parcel of Krishna. We are all servants of Krishna. Unless someone teaches us as Krishna teaches us, sarvadhaman parityaja mame kam sharanam raja, to surrender utterly to Krishna, then they don't know what is the message of Bhagavad Gita. And by hearing them, we cannot actually benefit. Mostly nowadays people think that some guru or sadhu is someone who makes you feel happy. Like this. Gives you a blessing. Yes. Your child, he will become a doctor. Oh, very nice. This is rascaldom. Actually, the duty of a sadhu is not to make us feel good in this material world. That is our illusion. If we want to feel good in this material world, we're in trouble. Because this material world is trouble. Krishna tells us that the duty of sadhus is santa evasya chindanti manovya sangam uktibihi. The sadhu should speak in such a way to cut our material attachments, not to increase them. Oh, your children are very beautiful. Oh, you have such a nice house. People, they like to decorate their house. Rich people, they like to have a nice house and then invite people. And people say, oh, you have a nice house. I say, ah, very good. But the sadhu, he sees this house, it is a prison. We are chained up by our material attachments. So, we should hear this. Prabhupada is presenting Bhagavad Gita as it is. Arjuna seemed to be a very good person. But Krishna told him, Pragyavadams chabhasase. You think you're speaking as if you're a very wise person, but you don't know what you're talking about. So we should hear Bhagavad Gita as it is. Krishna is very powerful. He is the supreme controller. His words are very powerful. They can shatter our illusion. They're meant for that. So, if we take Bhagavad Gita as it is, that will shatter our illusion. That should be the effect of hearing Bhagavad Gita. It shatters our illusion that we have anything to do in this world but to serve Krishna. That was Arjuna's maya. He didn't see the world as a place to serve Krishna. He saw the world as a place where I shall be happy. Krishna broke his illusion. So we see that Srila Prabhupada, his books are very powerful because by studying them, people become free of the illusion of thinking that I have anything to do with this world. They become attached to Krishna and understanding that my relationship is with Krishna. I have no relationship with this material world. Srila Prabhupada's books, by reading them, people get the understanding that I have to surrender to Krishna. And as we go on reading more and more and more Srila Prabhupada's books, there's not just one book. Srila Prabhupada gave so many volumes of books by which by understanding the knowledge which Krishna has given in Gita, in Bhagavatam, in Chaitanya Charitamrita, all the details of all the knowledge of Krishna and our relationship with Him, we become detached from this material world and we become attached to Krishna, and that is the perfection of life. Therefore, I can recommend you please study these books of Srila Prabhupada. Study means to enter into them very deeply. Once Srila Prabhupada asked some of his disciples, are you studying my books? And the devotees replied, yes Prabhupada, we're reading your books every day. Prabhupada said, are you studying them? So we can read, but are we studying? It means to consider very deeply what is the subject matter. What is the import of this message? If we understand that I am part and parcel of Krishna, I have no intrinsic relationship with this material world, that knowledge must change our life, because our life at the present time is based on thinking that I am this body and everything in relation. That is my life. What is your profile on Facebook? Age, educational qualification, what foods you like to eat. This is my identity. What's it called?
Oh,
I thought you were making some comment about Facebook. So, but what is our real identity? We have no relation with this, no ultimate relationship with this material world. Our relationship is with Krishna. Now, of course, we happen to be in a particular body at the present time, so we all have our little dramas to play. I'm playing a drama of sannyasi. That's also nonsense. I'm not a sannyasi. But this drama has some useful role, because by taking the role of a sannyasi, then if I speak what is in Bhagavad Gita as it is, then that is actually beneficial. But if I think I am a sannyasi, this is my cloth, this color of my, people are giving me garlands, I'm very important, this is nonsense. I have nothing to do with this material world. The prestige of this material world, tava pratishta shukore bishta. Does anyone know what that word bishta means? Means stool. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur has very nicely analyzed that if someone thinks I am a very great sadhu, and we get pratishta, my honor, prestige, is up. Then he says, if we think like that, it's like getting some nice, freshly made pig stool and smearing it all over our body. Ah! So, prestige, power, position. People are mad after these things. We're saying people want to get knowledge so they can get food and all this. But even practically more than food, people are interested in prestige, isn't it? You have to show, I'm a big man. Just like they made this nano car, right? Cheap car, no one wants to drive it. No one wants a nano car. Because it's cheap. That's probably the first time in his life this Tata, what's his first name?
Ratan.
First time he made a business mistake, thinking that everyone will like to get a cheap car. No one wants to have a cheap car. Because then everyone will know, then that will become a word. He's a nano. And I'm a... Even people, they don't like to drive very much this Maruti, this little car. So they made a bigger car. Bigger Maruti car. People, in the West it's a very big thing, you should have a big car. Then people think, oh, very important person. He has a bigger tin can than you to drive around in. That's for prestige. People spend so much money. They go in debt all their life to have some big house. They don't need a big house. You don't need a big house. A little place is enough. The big house is just to show I am better than you. That's all. And you become attached to the house. So you get born in that house again as a cockroach in the toilet because you're attached to that house. You want to live in that house, so you come back again in that house. That's what happens. So this material attachment is very dangerous. So study Prabhupada's books. Become detached. We have, as long as we're in this world, we have to do something. So now you may be a housewife, or an office wife, or a computer wife, you're married to the computer, or you find some friend on Facebook, and you get married, you have a cyber marriage, and you live in different cities. But this is not our real identity. We should know by regularly studying Prabhupada's books, we will understand who we actually are. We are so insane, we do not know who we are. We think, I am this body. But by reading these books regularly, this is the medicine that we have to take regularly, which will cure us from the disease of ignorance and transport us to the spiritual world. But we have to be very careful not to be attached to this world. This attachment is very dangerous. There is a worm in, there are certain maggots, worms, they live in stool, is it not? If you take them out, they'll crawl back. Because they like it. They think it's very nice. So we're all like that. We're attached to this world. We think it's very nice. It's not nice. This is the world of Janma Mrityu Jara Vyadhi. But we are thinking it's nice. That is our foolishness. So we should study these books. They're very powerful. If you dare, I challenge you to read these books. Because we want to be worms in stool, we don't want to take this knowledge. This knowledge will destroy your worm in stool existence. So be careful. If you want to be happy in this material world, by material sense enjoyment, don't read Prabhupada's books. Because then you'll understand that there is no happiness in this material world. It's just an illusion. But by giving up that stool-like existence, we can come to the actual existence of Brahma Sokyam Tvanantam, the actual spiritual happiness, which is unlimited and eternal. That is waiting us. If we can give up eating stool, then we can go to Krishna. There's a narration of Indradeva. He is enjoying life more than us. Our position, we are having material enjoyment more than the worm in stool, is it not? Your position is better than that of the worm in stool. But Indra's position compared to our position, it's like our position compared to the worm in stool. Indra's material enjoyment is so much more than ours. But Indra sometimes, because material opulence makes one proud, so sometime he insulted his guru. It's a very dangerous thing to do. So he insulted his guru, Brihaspati. And as a result, Brihaspati cursed him, you become a pig. So Indra, the great enjoyer of the heavenly world, he became a pig on this planet. And actually the pig has a lot of enjoyment. If you really want to enjoy life in this material world, don't be a human being. Better to be a pig. Because a pig has nice, fresh food every morning. If you, at least in the village, people are passing stool. It's all pre-processed food, very easy to digest. Very tasty, hot, fresh. He has a good, hot, nourishing breakfast every morning. And they become very fat, and they can enjoy sex, and no need to get married. Now in the modern age, they're also recommending no need of marriage. Just live like a pig. Just one pig is catching another pig. So you can live like a pig, they're recommending. So people, they want to have sex without marriage, then they can become a pig and they can eat fresh stool and they can have a wonderful life. But it's a pig's life. It's disgusting. Human beings should see that. So Indra, he had become a pig due to his insulting his guru. Then Brihaspati came after some time and said, come back. Come, now you can come back. He said, no, why should I come? I have fresh stool to eat every day. Nice Mrs. Pig. She's so beautiful. You see? What a beautiful pig. Oh, How can I leave my wife? She's so beautiful. I have all my pig children. But that is our position. We are attached to this pig-like existence. Even Indra's position, it's not that much different from that of a pig, because it's based on material sense enjoyment. So Krishna is telling us, don't live in this material world. Come to Krishna. We don't belong in this world. We belong with Krishna. So this knowledge we will get from these books. So if you dare to read these books, your life will be changed. Read these books daily. If you want to be cheated, there are so many cheating books. But if we want actual spiritual knowledge, by which we won't have to, we will know everything that we need to know, that is given in Bhagavad Gita. We have to take Bhagavad Gita as it is. Then when we read that, we have to read Srimad Bhagavatam, all the books of Prabhupada. You can make your life completely successful by studying these books of Prabhupada. So please read these books. Don't be cheated by people who tell you not to read Prabhupada's books. You must read Prabhupada's books. These books will shatter your attachment to this material world and bring you to Krishna. So anyone who tells you don't read Prabhupada's books, they're simply rascals who are cheating you. You should understand this. You must read Prabhupada's books. So please do that. That will change your life radically for the better. I can guarantee everyone who reads Prabhupada's books, they will understand immediately by reading these books that these books, it's not written from the platform of someone with some intelligence who's writing something. There are so many great writers in English. There's Shakespeare and Wordsworth and who else? There are so many. Milton and Steinbeck and Orwell. They're intelligent, but they're on the material platform. Maybe they can see the problems of this world, but they don't know the solution. The solution is given by Krishna in Bhagavad Gita. We have to take Bhagavad Gita as it is. So please take that. I won't speak more now, unless anyone has any question about this.